Where we talk trash about the things people hate to love and hate. Whoa.
Penis to vagina.
No.
Shelby, you should sing it. Sing it for us.
I was going to put it into a Spanish translation and then read it out like they did with the music. But
sing it out as well.
Yeah.
Off key, perhaps, could be fun.
Yes, you're wrong.
I never took Spanish, so I really have nothing.
Neither did Selena Gomez.
Drag her.
No.
We are here to talk about Emilia Perez this week, which earned 13 Oscar nominations, which is almost tied for the record. I believe that the highest amount is that any movie has ever received is 14.
For what? Like Zero Dark Thirty or something?
I think Lord of the Rings or like Avatar or something. I don't think it was Zero Dark Thirty of all. You're like, what's the movie with this one that was been nominated for the most Oscars ever? You're like, oh, yes, Zero Dark Thirty.
That or Beauty and the Beast. I don't know.
Like, I'm like, how many Oscar nominations did Zero Dark Thirty even get? I'm looking this up.
At least six.
It was nominated for 5. Oscars.
Pretty close.
Best Picture, Best Actress, Best Original Screenplay, Best Film Editing, and Best Sound Editing.
Okay, what about what's the one, the shooter, the
American Sniper?
Bradley Cooper, American Sniper. Yeah.
I'm like, you are picking the most random movie.
Well, I'm not, now I'm distracted. I'm curious which one got more nominations.
American Sniper got 6.
Oh, okay.
Best Picture, Adapted Screenplay, Actor, and Best Sound Editing.
Listen, I was in a movie theater in New York City, and it gave a standing ovation to that movie, okay? Like that's why it stuck with me. It was freaking
the most
crazy.
Nominations for a single film is 14. Gladiator. That has happened 3 times.
All About Eve. Gone with the Wind.
Titanic and La La Land were the three movies that got 14 nominations.
Okay,
you have we'll to think, to though, about like what is going to get nominated across all of these different categories. And it's like La La Land got a bunch of song nominations, which I think is why it was possible for it. Or like Lord of the Rings got 11 songs. Oscars.
Yeah.
But that's because it basically won every single technical category.
Such a good movie, honestly. Should we do an episode on Lord of the Rings instead?
No, I'll go on the record and say I would rather watch Emilia Perez a second time than watch any of the Lord of the Rings movies again.
That's transphobic and racist of you. And I don't support that at all.
Oh, are there a lot of black people in Lord of the Rings? I can't remember.
I said what I said and I stand by it, okay? More harm is done because of Emilia Mother Effing Perez, okay? Both in and outside of the narrative arc of the film. I put off watching this for as long as possible because I knew it was not my cup of tea. I think you saw it and you were like, okay. And then you were like, never mind. It soured for you. Is that correct?
That is not correct.
That is correct. I have it on record that you were like, it's kind of weird, kind of fun. And then you started to do your own research.
I am fairly certain that I disliked it from the jump because I will say this. Okay, let me just walk you through the story of Emilia Perez and my story of Emilia Perez. Emilia Perez, because this will also come into the fact that I don't remember this movie that well. I mean, I do, but I don't at the same time. Emilia Perez is I guess we should say what it's about. It is a musical.
I thought that's what you were doing.
Well, yeah, but then I'm going to talk about how I
watched it or whatever. It's described as a musical crime comedy.
Yes. But it's also sort of like, and I believe they use the word like, oh, where is it? Something about opera. It's like, a, oh, an opera libretto of the, it's based on, so it's from this French director, Jacques Audiard, who I did not really know at before this, but he did direct and write this.
Oops.
Oh my gosh, what is going on at your house? The Sisters Brothers, which had John C. Reilly and Joaquin Phoenix. That movie I really liked. That was a Western that came out a few years ago that nobody saw. Anyways, back to Emilia Perez. It's about a, so it's written by a French man about a Mexican drug cartel leader who decides that she wants to transition from a man who's a drug dealer into a woman. And so because she has all of this money from the drug cartels, she hires Zoe Saldana to like fly her to Europe, fake her death, and turn her into a woman, which happens. Musical numbers along the way, including a sex change, or I guess gender affirming surgery number that includes a line, penis to vagina. And then after she becomes a woman, the Emilia Perez, like years later, decides, oh, actually, I want to pull a Mrs. Doubtfire-esque like gamut on my ex-girlfriend, played by Selena Gomez, and move back to Mexico, claiming to be the dead, quote unquote, cartel leader's sister named Emilia Perez. So that's the plot.
No, distant cousin. Okay.
Distant cousin. It's not an aunt.
Yeah, it's a distant cousin.
Okay. The movie came out at Cannes this year, this summer, back in June, and got very strong reviews out of the festival, especially from, I think, gay film critics, lesbian. Not a lot of trans film critics go to Cannes just because there's not a lot of trans film critics and it's expensive to go to Cannes, so it's mostly the older film critics who go and therefore not the trans ones. And the response was very like positive, and I sort of think, or I have a reason for why I think that is, which we'll get into later. But so that happened then it plays again at Toronto, and I was there at Toronto. I went into it expecting to like it. Did not love it. A lot of the other people who I saw with it did like it. And then we went and it was the premiere. It was big, glitzy. There was this giant party at the Nobu afterwards. Everyone was like, oh my gosh, so good. And I was like, I don't think this was a good movie, you guys. And I also think it was kind of problematic. And everyone was like, you're being transphobic. Like, it was great. Blah, 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 blah. I was like, we'll wait till, you know, some trans people see this and then I'll, you know, take my thoughts into consideration more. Since then, it's obviously played more festivals, it's come out in theaters, it's now on Netflix, lots of people have watched it, lots of trans people have watched it, lots of them have not liked it. GLAAD released this big long piece that, you know, sort of linked out to dozens of articles by trans and queer writers about why they thought this movie was problematic and didn't work and they didn't like it. Then there was this scandal because apparently Selena Gomez isn't really speaking good Spanish in the movie, and the movie's in Spanish. Then there's all of these issues with the Spanish in the movie because it's written by a French man who doesn't speak Spanish, and it's set in Mexico, but he's never, like, I can't remember if he's never been to Mexico, where he doesn't, like,
he just didn't want to shoot there.
Connections to Mexico. Yeah, it's not filmed in Mexico. There's just all kinds of sort of weird, wonky problems. It's just continued to get more and more and more backlash as more and more people have seen it. Basically, everyone who I know who is not a film critic who saw it in Cannes and has seen it in the past couple of months is like, yeah, this movie's insane and also bad. Why is this getting any Oscar nominations? So that's my path to it.
I see. Yeah. Well, okay. Okay, that checks out. Sure. Yeah, I understand. I mean, yeah, I think it's one of those things where it was divisive a little bit at the beginning, but it has only gotten worse and worse.
Well, because it also won Cannes. Like,
yeah.
Greta Gerwig's jury gave this the grand prize.
Yeah. Yeah, because like we mentioned on our earlier podcast episode, it is like catnip for this neoliberal brand of Oscar voters and like critics and, oh, we want to be one with the zeitgeist of the time or like ahead of the curve in some ways. But in actuality, this is very like empty and shallow and doesn't really do anything. And in fact, can negatively impact the cause it seems to be taking up. And I think that's reflected in the actual lack of real representation, where there's literally no Mexican-born actor in this movie, and there's literally no shots from Mexico itself. It's built on stereotypes, and it's framing itself around stereotypes because, again, it's not from a transgender artist. I mean, he says that he's close to it somehow. Obviously, people can write and process and think about things how they want, but they can't expect, you know, global praise and lack of criticism should they do it poorly. And I think that's what you get here, is there's people who are actually aware of like transgender tropes and problematic stereotypes and, you know, historic coverage in films and TV and media. And then you have people who are like, well, I'm just reacting to the moment and like, oh my God, like I think this is so brave and it's so bold and audacious and it's genre bending. And it's like, well, no, it's not. It's literally just a bad story with bad music, set around a bad faith argument that he had an idea and so he should get the funding and opportunity and total praise for doing it, for using his time to make this movie. And it's just kind of like annoying to face that again and again and again, like we did with Rami Malek's like presentation of the Queen biopic and how sanitized that was, and the Green Book and how really sanitized that was. And yet we just eat these up because it's easy and accessible, and it's really from the POV of the cis straight white person or whatever, even when it's covering someone that's supposedly so like diverse in multiple ways. And so yeah, it's just kind of like disappointing to see the love that this collects, even when it is like very obviously like, I think people at the Cannes Film Festival, when they're awarding this, that, like you said, that's just a bunch of white cisgender critics for the most part. It's just like hard.
I think the thing with Cannes is like people have not seen any of the movies before they see them at the festival. And I think that especially like more liberal queer people were sort of primed to be like, okay, there's this musical coming out. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be about a trans person, going to star a trans person. Like, people are probably not going to like it, especially, you know, like more conservative people, like the Academy, whatever. Like, this feels like something that's going to be too wild for them. And so I think when they saw it, their sort of gut reaction was sort of like, we have to defend, like, we have to say this movie is good because people are probably going to say it's bad because it's about trans people. So I think that was sort of the initial thing, was like, oh, like this movie's fun and interesting and it's about trans people and we need to sort of champion that. So like, yeah, like let's go for it without doing too much critical thinking. And again, without very many trans people sort of involved either in the making of the movie or sort of in its release in Cannes. So I can kind of see how it got off to that start. I guess the thing that's very confusing for me is how it has sort of continued to be such a beloved movie to the point that it was the most Oscar nominated movie this year. Like something like Green Book, I think makes so much sense to me as to why people like that. Or even sort of like you said, the Bohemian Rhapsody, of like, that's a movie that my uncle could go see and be like, wow, I love Queen. Like, this is great. Or like my parents loved Green Book, you know? It's like, wow, like look at these people from across the spectrums and they're friends now and whatever. And it's like, they don't really have that highbrow level of media literacy to be like, okay, maybe this in sort of its positiveness is actually causing some negative side effects. The thing with this is it's like, I can't imagine showing this to my parents or to sort of anybody who's like any sort of adults in the real world who aren't like super coastal liberal elites, and having them be like, oh yeah, this is good. Like, it, the story's weird, the music is bad, and it's not like, and it's not even like musical music. It's like sort of atonal, like people aren't hitting notes, so there's not like choruses to it. The storyline is funky, it's not in English. Like, I, there's so many things that on paper are working against this. The fact that so many people have like, you know, quote unquote liked this and voted for it makes me sort of wonder if this is a little bit of like an Emperor's New Clothes situation, where everybody thinks that they're supposed to like this movie and so is saying that they're liking this movie and voting for this movie, and then it's going to actually win like sort of nothing, because by then everyone will have realized, like, wait, we don't have to like Emilia Perez. Oh, okay. Well, I didn't like it. Yeah.
Well, I think it's strange. Like, easy, because it's like, because I don't know. I can see it winning a lot. One, because it's not the people voting for it. You know, there's obviously a lot of, I mean, I think you saw it win a bunch of Golden Globes, and I think there's a lot
Golden Globes are, you know, voted by
excitement for it.
A lot of European people who I do think,
but that's true of the Oscars too. There's a lot more foreign voters in it now, intentionally and for good reason. But I think it allows for this sort of like, it's become a snowball. Like, it's like, yeah, so this is the movie. It's controversial, but like, I liked it, or I thought it was good, or I think it's audacious or genre bending or genre defying, and like, we just have this language around it because it's seen as sort of like controversial or something, that people do just kind of dig into it. If that's art, that's art. And I don't know, you see it historically, we've done it, like Slumdog Millionaire has a lot of problematic portrayals.
But Jai Ho was such a great song. You can't like,
at least they had that. Yes, I agree. And I would say, I think arguably the story is tighter, the writing's better, the acting's better. But I think that still like touches on the same problems where I don't know. It just kind of plays into this like easy, safe sort of way to be edgy, where it's like, no, it's actually like really, really brave for me to like this movie, and like, it's really brave of this movie to exist, and like, clearly it's causing a conversation, and that's what art is meant to do. And I think that there's definitely a path where this still sweeps the Oscars, because people are just like enraptured in the conversation of it.
It's just so like Crash. Weird. And I guess Crash like is maybe a good comparison point, because that was also a movie that was kind of bizarre and hard to watch. But this, you know, it's like, this whole movie is just so odd to me. Like, I wouldn't, I think if I watched this in a vacuum, I would never think like, oh yeah, a lot of Academy voters are gonna love this. You know, it's not like when you go and watch like, you
know, Brutalist.
Yes, where you're like, okay, this, like, this makes sense as to why the Academy would love this movie.
Yeah.
Where Emilia Perez is sort of wonky. I do think Emilia Perez also is sort of struggling with the same thing that, what was the Martin Scorsese movie last year? Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Has. Where it's like, at the center is a very marginalized community that does need to be sort of promoted, like that we are not telling the stories of. And also at the center is a, I think, very good performance from an actress who is from said marginalized community and is doing good work. But then somehow or another, they are trapped in this project that, because it was sort of invented by a white person, doesn't quite like hit the things that it needs to, but also because it was by a white person, it's probably getting a lot more attention than it would have if it wasn't. So there's all these sort of weird paradoxes mix of like, okay, in some ways, like, do I think Emilia Perez is a good movie? No. Do I find it problematic? Yes. Do I think that if in 2025, while Donald Trump is president, a best picture about a trans woman wins best picture? Like, will that be a good sign for things in some regards? Like, yes, I guess so. Yeah. Like it's hard for me to sort of be like, I don't like this movie, and I think that there's a lot of problematic parts, and we'll get into that in a bit. But I'm also at the same time, I'm like, but it is like a trans story, and I want there to be more of this. So even though this isn't perfect, I think like it, there's like some level of progress, but then also not at the same time. I don't know. It's very confusing, I think.
Well, it's hard because it is like we've done worse, right? Like the Oscars have awarded far worse films and stereotypes and terrible, you know, motivations and reasonings and all of that. But it is just kind of like, well, this just feels like the bare minimum. Like it's easy to give an award to this community without having to really explore whether it deserves, like if that portrayal is like the thing that it deserves. And so it is kind of like a cheap win, it would feel like, just because I think there is harm being done, and not only with the transgender community, but with the stereotypes of Mexico in this are crazy. It is just unreal. And it's like, the more you pull back, like any entry point into this film, you can pull back and be like, wow, that's actually bad. Like, that's actually problematic. Like, yeah, the Spanish in the film, the setting of the film, the cartel, like, every way you get into this movie, you're like, oh my gosh, like how did no one like hold up a hand and question this? But it's because it's so distant from what it's portraying. It's the, like, honestly, it's this French man who's like, yeah, I'm gonna write a cartel musical about a transgender drug lord. Like, it just boggles the mind that it got made and that they felt they were the right ones to make it, and that they didn't have any questions as it got further and further away from the actuality of what they were trying to present. So like the fact that he went around Mexico looking for somewhere to shoot, but ultimately decided to build a soundstage of his version of Mexico in France is just like, that's like, okay, sir. I think what that proves is that your stereotypical idea of Mexico wasn't giving in the right way. So you had to make somewhere where you could just like stab someone in the street in the middle of your opening song and it would like make sense, you know? And it's just like crazy how many offenses were done in this movie that, yes, if she were to win Best Actress, like, proud of her, happy for her. I think that's like great. And she does a good job. And I'm glad that at least there's, you know, because we've nominated a lot of straight dudes for playing transgender women. And so, yeah, I think that's great representation. But I do just think it's like, I would rather this film have not, like, I don't know if you can say that it's like worth it in the end, you know?
Yeah, I think it's, I feel like with representation, it's always so hard because it's kind of like, it's like a journey, and depending on where you are on the journey and where the sort of media artifact hits you, it does something different, you know? Like, if I watched certain movies about gay people when I was 17 and in the closet, they would have really spoke to me in ways where if I watch them now, I think, oh, this is like actually really offensive and problematic in a bunch of different ways. So yeah, it's, I feel like these kinds of things are always tricky in that regard. The thing that I have the most problem with is the like morals of the movie, which is basically that this woman is a drug dealer, or like is a cartel person, murders tons and tons of people, and then is sort of like exonerated from that because she's trans. It's like, oh, because she's trans, it actually doesn't really matter that she killed all of these people. Yeah. Like, she's a new person now.
She's trying to protect herself. Right. Yeah.
And then also that she sort of is like deified in the movie. Yes. She becomes this saint because she helps people find the bodies of where they killed. It's not even like, oh, she's getting revenge for somebody, or oh, she's turning in people, or she's helping catch other people. It's like, no, she's just helping the families find the bodies that she buried after she killed people. Right, exactly. And then on top of it, you have this whole like Mrs. Doubtfire plan where she's like lying to Selena Gomez about being this cousin, which I think in Mrs. Doubtfire, you know, it's like if you take a very serious reading of that, it's like, how dare this man, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, okay, this is a goofy comedy. So like you kind of have to not like be paying attention to it that much. Where in this, I think it is a more serious portrayal of things.
Yes.
So the fact that she like not only is killed all of these people and then is sort of gaslighting everyone into thinking she's a good person, but she's also lying about her identity her children and her like ex-wife is also crazy to
well,
me.
And
you
then
get to the end and no one ever really takes her to task for anything.
Yeah. No, it's an absolutely bonkers story because I think exactly that, right? It boils down to this idea of deceit, which again is a very, very dangerous stereotype with transgender portrayals in media of like, oh, they're just lying about who they are, or like they don't actually know, they're just confused. It's like the fact that it all comes down to her utilizing this new personhood is so that they use language of like killing off the old person, the man, the bad guy. And yet there's not really any, I don't know, it still continues to be deceit because she isn't honest with her family about who she is. And when they reject her still without the full context, she then retreats back into that violent, you know, controlling cartel leader behaviors again. And so it's like hard to sympathize with her in the second half because it's like, well, shit, you literally just threatened this woman to take away her kids and she thinks you're just a cuckoo aunt that's like become obsessed with them. So of course she's going to run away and then you're going to freeze all her assets and take all her money and not expect retribution. Like it's like, I was very confused of if they were trying to say, wow, this woman wasn't like really transgender for the right reasons. She just wanted a second chance and now she's mad. Or if it was like, oh, people are so complicated, aren't they? Because at no point did she just decide honesty was the best policy. Like she, until the very end, gun to her head, did not tell Jesse, aka Selena Gomez, that like, oh, actually, I'm your ex-husband, like that you thought was dead and that you mourned for. And I don't know, I was just like very viscerally turned off when she, like, they made her talk in her low voice again when she got mad and like physically cornered Jesse, threw her on the bed, threatened her. And I was just like, what's the vibe here? Because this just feels like, oh, see, trans people are scary and they're not actually like, they're not actually who they say they are, and they'll always have this other person inside them. And it just felt very ick.
Well, and I am, like, I think about the Gillian Flynn quote all the time that's like, feminism isn't like only portraying good women, it's portraying like bad, like all women. And so I do think that if this story was like, oh, look, like this trans person can be a shitty, horrible, complicated person just like anybody else, and they're just as bad before they transition as after they transition. Like, is that necessarily great representation? I don't know. But I think that is, like, that is an interesting story. Because I do think that the premise of this movie is a fascinating one of, like, what if somebody in this, like, very violent, masculine world decided that they wanted to transition, like, what does that look like? But I don't think that then this movie really moves into the interesting parts of that.
No,
because instead it goes to this Mrs. Doubtfire you know, plot line. But I also think that we're shown Amelia Perez doing these bad things, but are repeatedly told, oh, she's a good person. Like, we should be thinking of her as the hero of this story. And it's like, well, no, because she's doing bad things. Like, if you want her to do bad things, great. I want, like, let me watch that movie. But then you have to make it look like she's doing the bad things. You can't have her keep doing shitty things and then sort of
dedicate the audience,
right? Like, oh, she's actually like a saint, like Saint Amelia Perez. And again, it's not given in the sort of ironic way of like, oh, she snowed all of these idiot townspeople and now they're all saying, oh, Saint Amelia Perez, when she was like a dick the whole time.
Well, and like they don't know the full truth. So it's like very frustrating as an audience to be like, would these people be hugging her and thanking her and kissing her hand if they knew that that's literally the person who killed their son, husband, brother, whatever? Like, it's like there's song after song about these sad Mexican families who are like, oh my gosh, I just need to know so I can move on, which is a serious issue in Mexico and yet isn't really treated seriously here when you have them bowing and thanking and weeping at the feet of the literal cartel leader who did it all.
Yeah, it's
just bonkers. And then like to try and make Jesse the villain, which I saw all the time, is like Selena Gomez's character becomes the villain. And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm kind of on team Jesse. Like, obviously you shouldn't kidnap people and hold people for ransom, but like if someone was like popped up out of nowhere, started showering my kids with kisses and obsessing over them and then called them her kids, I would run for the hills too. Like, I don't know what. And then, I just think it's disrespectful to that past relationship to not tell her. And I think it's like, you can't have it both ways. Like, yeah, you can't do your Miss Doubtfire shtick to be close to your kids and get the gossip on what your ex-wife thought of you in actuality and then like hold it against her. You know, like, I just. Yeah. I did not like the storyline there, and I feel like it was strange. It was never really resolved.
Oh no, definitely not resolved. And
definitely the last song is him being like, "Remember when it was? Remember when we met and you were this and that?" And I was like, "What? What is this movie? Like, honestly, what's happening here?" And then Jesse goes just batshit and kills them all.
But then also, Jesse is played by Selena Gomez in not a good performance.
Not a good performance.
I mean, like, I cannot critique whether or not her Spanish is good, but she's doing her sort of standard, like, woebegone, Debbie Downer sort of energy, I think, even if she's supposed to be this, you know, sexy, like, sexy vixen kind of character. And she's also, she's like mumbling again. I don't think she's great. I do think that the best part of this movie is Zoe Saldana. Like, I think that she is really good in it. I think her character is sort of the most interesting and really is the lead of the movie, even though she's running and supporting for the Oscars. Like, because she's the one who sort of is facilitating all of this. And then she's the one person in the post-transition era who knows that Amelia Perez is the cartel leader. And she is the one who's kind of having to facilitate that and deal with that. And I wish that there was more, like, grappling with the morality of that on her part. But she has sort of, I think, the most interesting bit of the film.
And well,
she's,
I mean,
very good in it. Like, she's a very good actress.
Yeah, I mean, I could have done without the shock and awe of seeing boobies on the when there's a scene at the beginning where the cartel lord, she's like, have you even started? Like, this takes years. And she flashes her and she's like, like, I don't know. It's just like there were moments where it was like overacting.
That's
and
how,
she does kind of.
That's how I react when I see
boobs. That's how you
boobs,
react
so.
When you see boobs. You're like, yes. Ah! Yeah, no. I think it's just like, I felt like, yeah, I can see why both of them were nominated for acting, but ultimately it didn't feel like they totally knew what to do with her role in particular, because she kind of does just kind of fizzle out in the middle. And her last big song, which is the one nominated for an Oscar, is like this sort of rap rock number during a banquet,
like a gala
raising
dinner,
money.
Yeah.
And she's like ranting about how all these people are corrupt too. And it mirrors the first song, which is where she's writing a closing argument for this man who murdered his wife, but they decided they need to get him off. And so she writes a whole spiel about how it's actually it was a suicide and he's really heartbroken about it. And similarly, I thought that was going to be the second act, like was going to follow her realizing she's in the same cycle again, where she's doing the dirty work for someone who's lording his power over her, like because her boss in the first half is this lawyer who takes credit for all of her work, and then it's Emilia Perez who's like, yeah, we have to get the money from my dirty friends because I don't have any rich wealthy friends yet, I only have my drug lord connections. And it's like, oh, that's an interesting moral conundrum. And I think that would have been interesting for it to be about, I don't, Rita's concern about realizing like, wait, am I fixing a system if I'm still partaking in that system? And instead the song just kind of ends and it's like, never mind, we're moving on. Emilia finds a girlfriend and Emilia gets her happy ending song. And then it's like, I don't know. It was very confusing. It was tonally all over the place. And I was just like, there just wasn't like a central theme. It was just throwing things at the wall and being like, wow, it'd be hard to be transgender, wouldn't it? But it didn't feel authentic to the trans experience as I've heard tell.
Yeah, I do have friends who are trans who have liked this movie, but I also have friends who are trans who have really hated it. So yeah. It seems to, and I feel like the majority of people do not love it.
Because it's like constant dead naming and constant like binary thinking where she literally has a song where she's like, I'm part her, part him. And it's like these sort of, that's where the like negative, like, is this adding value to the conversation right now? And I just think it's like really damaging at this point in time to have these sort of reductive understandings of transgenderness and this idea that, oh, I'm just faking it, I don't know, maybe I regret it, like blah 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 blah. And then to have it like revolve around this like transphobic doctor who's basically like, he'll never be her. It's like, okay, what's happening here?
It's also very focused on the physical nature of the transformation. Like there's a whole sequence about all of the surgeries and stuff, which I think is important to certain members of the trans community, but not important to all trans people. And I think most trans people would say that like the physical manifestation is important, but like the mental part is sort of like the more important aspect. So yeah, it's just very, there's lots of sort of issues. I will say on our regard, I think that the chances that it wins Best Picture are fairly slim, even though it has so many nominations, because of the ranked choice voting. Usually it's a more consensus pick, and I can see a lot of members of the Academy putting this last out of the top, you know, of the 10 Oscar nominees. And I think it's really hard to win Best Picture if a lot of people are like, no, this was the worst movie of the batch.
So best song was the Elmar one, but then there's another one and I couldn't remember which one.
It's the Selena Gomez song.
Oh my gosh. No, that's what's wild too, is they're trying to say it's not a musical. Like it's a genre defying musical, but it's a traditional musical. It moves the plot forward with music, and
the songs are just bad.
Yeah, exactly. The problem is that the songs are bad and the singers are bad. Like, it's like, you might be talking your way through this song, but it's still a musical. And what boggles my mind is that the music was written by a French singer who then had a Mexican friend translate it. And it's like, you get these like lyrics that are like, oh, you smell like guacamole and mezcal. And like, you're like watching this musical about like, oh, it's hard being in Mexico, and then you cut to a frame of someone getting stabbed in the gut out of context, and it feels like parody. It feels like watching Dicks the Musical. Like, that's the level of writing we're getting, that's the level of story work in the choreography and musical numbers.
You're always trying to get Dix the Musical.
I know, honestly, Dix the Musical is better than Emilia Perez. Dix the Musical deserves an Oscar before Emilia Perez does. And I just think,
really,
I think you would understand if you listen to the music and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this is very similar.
Like, Justice for In the Heights. Justice for In the Heights. Like, what happened to that movie, which was so good? Should have gotten all of these nominations.
Yeah,
that's
no.
The movie that John Chu should have gotten Best Director for, not Wicked.
No, that's crazy. Wicked's a much better directed film. But anyways, I
know what the I just disagree with that. We get.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't respect the director. I don't believe him when he says he has his best intentions at heart. He clearly didn't do his homework, and I can understand why the actors maybe got involved in the hope that this was something more than it ended up being. But ultimately, it just feels like I saw someone reference the doctor song where he's like, you change the soul, you change the body, you change society. And someone referenced that and was like, oh, okay, so that's what this movie is. It's just two cis people debating the ethics of transness without trans people around. And I think that does become the frustration, is like, they have a lot to say in this movie about Mexican culture, about transphobia, transgenderism, all of it. And yet there's no one with authority to speak on it in front of the camera or behind the camera. And that makes it really hard to like take them at their word when they say they had the best intentions.
Well, what's the phrase of like, nothing about us without us sort of energy? It feels like that's what's going on here, unfortunately. I mean,
what was the point of the vaginoplasty song? Because that's not even the doctor she went with. Like, the whole opening,
we're learning about it. We're learning what an Adam's apple surgery is, Shelby. Duh.
But the first half of the musical is like very surrealist. Vaginoplasty. Like, you're kind of like in a fake doctor's office and everyone's like wearing robes and stuff. And it's like very cartoonish almost. And then the second half is very much like Evita. You're just like in rooms singing sad songs. And it's very like straightforward. You don't have big musical numbers or sets or anything. So it was kind of weird tonal shift. It was just like a badly crafted film.
These lyrics are so good. I'm just
no, they're all
hello,
bad.
Hello, very nice to meet you. I would like to know about sex change operations. Man to woman.
And then she's like, I want a vagina.
Is it for you? For me? No.
Stop. It's literally
I want
like
to
laughable.
Know it all. What is the protocol, the techniques, and the risks? How many operations? How much time do you need?
Rhinoplasty,
yes. Rhinoplasty, yes. It's really catchy stuff.
It's so freaking weird. And
if you thought that me singing that right there was a worse version of what's in the movie, you think again. That was about the level of vocal quality of this song.
Yeah. It's just, the audacity of white dudes. Like, that's just what I come back to. Like, why did he think he could write a musical? I don't understand. Like, why did he think this is the project? Like, it's like that woman who wrote American Dirt. It's like, what do you mean you're the person to write about the refugee experience coming from Mexico? Like, it's like, I just don't understand the audacity. Like,
well,
I think there are people
to tell you that I'm writing a novel. It's about a one-legged Nigerian trans man. Very exciting stuff. I feel compelled to write it.
I believe you would.
That's the rudest thing you've ever said to me.
You're
after
like,
all
you know
these
what?
Years
I've lived
podcasting
enough.
With
I
you,
think I can.
You think that I would write
You're
that
like,
book?
What's that different? I'm a journalist. You. I'm a journalist in a dying field. I know what it's like to be in a...
Really, if you think about it, losing a leg in Nigeria is similar to the time I went to Starbucks and my coffee wasn't ready in time.
Yeah, it's absolutely wild.
How dare you? Movie. How dare you? Okay, well, I feel like that was about it for that episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next week, we have... I don't even know what we've got. The Reese Witherspoon Will Ferrell movie is coming out on Amazon Prime. Yeah. We could watch that.
Well, I mean, the good news about the Oscars forcing me to watch this movie is that the next movie I watch will be my favorite film of all time. Like, it'll just be, by comparison, the greatest thing I've watched this year. So,
and it's that's really it. Just whatever. We'll be doing an episode on Dog Man next week. Starring Isla Fisher and Pete Davidson as dogs. Oh, wow. We've got options. We've got You're Cordially Invited, the Will Ferrell Reese Witherspoon movie. We have Companion, the Sophie Thatcher Jack Quaid movie. And then we also have Love Me, the Kristen Stewart, Steven Yeun, or Satellites film.
Okay.
Some winners.
Yeah.
And also, we got to start. You should send me lists of things that you've watched last year, and I can send you lists of things to catch up on. Because we've got the Oscars coming up in March, and we've got to do our year wrap up before then.
Yes. Well, I look forward to that. Emilia Perez will be at the bottom.
I'm putting Emilia Perez number one, followed by The Brutalist.
Yeah.
Thank you everyone for listening to this. I hope you enjoyed this scintillating episode, and we'll be back next week to talk about something that's probably not going to be nominated for the Oscars. See you next week. Bye.